You know, as Pastor Galena was up here praying and exhorting us to press into God, I just have a scripture. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2. Pray that this encourages you. Verse 13, and how many appreciate our pastor praying according to the Spirit of God and not void or not blind to what's happening in our world today. I know a lot of Christians, and please don't get offended at this. I know Christians say, I never watch the news. I don't want to, you know. And to me, you know, it's like, okay, right? I understand we can't be absorbed with it, but you got to know what's going on so you know what to pray about. Amen. I mean, it's pretty simple. You don't get absorbed in it. We get absorbed in the presence of God. Amen. And His Word. And so anyway, Thessalonians chapter 2. Just these words here. This isn't my message tonight, but I thought I'd just encourage you in this. Verse 13, Paul says, but we are bound, we're obligated. And this came to me as Pastor Galena was praying, because we need to be worshipers of God. Amen. Yeah. We are bound, we're obligated to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, for one another, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you, my friend. Turn to your neighbor and say, He chose you and He chose me. Amen. Yeah. Chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which He called you. Now, we weren't only chosen, but we're called. All of us are called. He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold traditions, the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now may the Lord, our Jesus Christ Himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope. It's Christ in us. Look at me for a second. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. The only hope of our world today is Jesus. But it's Jesus in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, that's why I'm saying we can't put our head in the sand. We got to let our light shine for Jesus, because people are dying by the moment without Jesus, headlong into eternity in hell. Amen. And so we got to let our light shine. And the only hope is Jesus. And the only hope is the church, the universal body of Christ, in which you and I are a part of that family. Someone say, I'm glad to be a part of the family. Verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Chapter 3, finally, brethren, pray for us. That, man, we need to, and Pastor Tommy and Galena and myself, we're passionate about prayer. And we want you, our church family, our brothers and sisters, to be passionate about prayer, seeking God. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000, right? We need each other. This God's mighty army locked arm in arm together, praying and speaking the word. That's what we're going to get into tonight. But he said, finally, brother, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered, here it is, from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, folks, we just got to be blind to know that there are wicked people out there. They're made in the image of God. We love them. We pray for them. But we can't be blind to the fact that everybody loves Jesus. That's not the case. In fact, we're going to look at this tonight, that the world hates you. The world hates what's in you. And he goes on to say, for not all have faith, verse 3, chapter 3, but the Lord is faithful. Someone say, God's faithful.
God's faithful.
Who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Folks, we have nothing to fear. As it gets darker, we get brighter. Come on. We get brighter. And so tonight we're going to continue on basically part two in victory in the face of defeat. Now, just a little side note here tonight. I was so thrilled walking into the church tonight. I saw Pastor Tommy outside talking to Kathy and diligently looking over the flower bed out there. And I was just encouraged. Deanna. And I'm looking at Kathy back there. Kathy, you were inside the door. But your husband, too. He came in with flowers in his hand. I was like, man, something's happening here. I just thought I'd mess with the guys a little bit. Amen. Victory in the face of defeat. Amen. How many have ever faced defeat before? Amen. Jesus, my friends, gave you and I the ultimate, and if you're going to take notes, I want you to write this down. Jesus gave us the ultimate and only weapon whereby we can obtain victory while we're facing defeat. And it's called the Moab. M-O-A-B. It's not the mother of all bombs. It's the mother of all books. The B-I-B-L-E. This is where our victory is found. And the reality is so many believers are stumbling in life because they don't read their Bible. So many people just blind. You might as well just walk around with a big sandwich board on you front and back that says, I do not read my Bible. When we vote contrary to the word, I do not read my Bible. I'm just being real. And so, is it any wonder that many of us go down crashing and burning, and a lot of believers walk away? I told you last week, this is a true statistic. 2 out of 3 millennials, 18 to 34, are leaving the faith never to return. 2 out of 3 are leaving the faith, never to return. I would have to say probably the majority of them really never had a solid foundation of the Word of God in their life. And a lot of times we walk through our Christian walk living life's experiences rather than experiencing the presence and true presence of God in our own lives for ourselves. We're relying on someone else to feed us rather than feeding ourselves. And so what happens is we come up with this weak, wimpy, no-strength Christianity that people say, I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of a move of God. How about you? And it's only going to come through the power of the Holy Ghost and the truth of God's Word. And so turn with me to John, the 17th chapter, John chapter 17, the mother of all books. Say that with me. The mother of all books. Amen. I love it. John 17, 14, Jesus said this. This is our ultimate weapon right here. Verse 14, I have given them your word. There it is. I've given them the most powerful weapon on planet Earth, the Word of God. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. You see, God could have just, when we said yes to Jesus, taken us home, but he's left us here for a purpose. When I had my heart attack back in October, I survived that, and I was like, Lord, you still have purpose. I'm so glad about that for my life. You still have need of me. You know what? We're just all donkeys. Amen. Amen. Right? The Lord has need of you. The Lord has need of you. For whatever that is. Deanna, it could be just that you beautify the house of God. Amen. The Lord says, I have need of that. Amen. You come to prayer, God says, I have need of you. You come to church to encourage someone, God says, I have need of that in my family. Right? Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. But Psalm 119, verse 60 says this, the entirety of your word is truth. Did you hear that? The entirety, from cover to cover, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Amen. You see, the devil, he's doing his job. He tries to load up or jam up our loading and firing process by jamming up our ears and our eyes and our mouth with the garbage of this world. And what happens is when the mechanism gets all fouled up, the Holy Spirit has nothing to work with. Are you following me here? That's why when we clean our guns, we use oil, man, to get all the grime out of there, to get all the powder and all that stuff out of there so it can be nice and shiny so that when you fire the thing, and things are working just like a well-oiled machine. God wants you and I to be a well-oiled machine. We need the oil of the Holy Ghost flowing in our lives. That's why it's important that you pray in tongues daily. You encourage it. John says that we're building up our most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. And it's like we're getting a lube job by the Holy Ghost every time we pray in the Spirit. Amen. And so the devil, he doesn't want you to read God's word. He doesn't want you to hear God's word. He doesn't want you to speak God's word. But Jesus said in Luke 19:10, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And so we need to be not just speaking the word, we need to be praying the word. You say, Pastor Mark, I don't know how to do that. All you need to do is pick up your Bible and just start speaking it, start praying it, or pick up these little Colt 38s, amen, this little word of God right here. And I'll tell you how this works. This is real good, man. I was praying this today, and I was getting myself all excited in Jesus. Oh, man, I love this. So I'm praying to put on the armor of God. Check this out. In the name of Jesus, I put on the whole armor of God that I might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Is that not a word for today that we need to be speaking? Therefore, I take, not Pastor Tommy for me, I take on the whole armor of God that I might be able to stand against the wickedness in the evil day. Having done all to stand, I stand therefore, having my loins girt with truth, which contains all the weapons of my warfare, which are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Folks, we need to be pulling down some strongholds in our world today. You want to see victory in your family? Speak to that spirit that's attacking your family and call it down. I call down that spirit of confusion, that divisive spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind it in Jesus' name. And I loose the power of the Spirit, the power of love and forgiveness and acceptance into my family. I've got to do that. No one else is going to do that for me. I have the breastplate of righteousness, which is faith and love. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In Christ Jesus, I have peace, and I pursue peace with all men. Because why? I am a minister of reconciliation according to the gospel of peace. I take on the shield of faith, wherewith I'm able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I put on the helmet of salvation, and I hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of God's heart, not the world's heart. Are you with me tonight? I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I cut to pieces all the snares and tricks of the enemy by, here it is, speaking the Word of God. If I want my marriage to be healed, I got to be not just loving and kind, I got to be able to speak God's Word into our marriage. Are you hearing me? Amen. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Jesus said, I've given you the authority over demons, over the spirit of this world. God's word is powerful, my friends. And listen, if the word was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Can someone say amen? Amen. Jeremiah, oh man, I've done this in children's church before, but you can get the picture. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire? How many have ever seen my burning Bible before? Amen. Is not my word like fire? Amen. And says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Hebrews 4:12 says this, the Word of God is alive, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we got to realize the enemy of our soul is very crafty. He's very slick. He's very religious. And he wants to keep the Word of God out of your ears, out of your eyes, and out of your mouth. Devil doesn't want you to know what God knows. He doesn't want you to know what God. He wants us to be so involved and so busy with the things of this life that all of a sudden this has become second place. I think one of the biggest reasons we don't see more of signs and wonders, and I know pastors talked about this, and miracles, is because many believers do not totally surrender to the authority of God's word. You might want to write this down. What people don't understand, they're against. That's human nature. What people don't understand, they're against. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man understands not the things of God. Listen, that's why we got to be Jesus out in our communities, or in our workplace, because we're probably going to be the only Jesus that people not only hear, but see. And listen, the only way people don't get saved by events. People get saved by the preached word of God. People get saved by us telling people about Jesus. Jesus isn't going to do that. That's our job. Why? Because he said, I've given them the word and I've given you authority. So the question is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? What you do not believe, you will not speak of. A lot of Christians that are afraid to witness about God because they don't totally believe this. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. But folks, that means our work's cut out for us. Our work's cut out for us. Now, I want to go to two examples of groups of people that had their backs up against the wall and it looked like there's no way out. How many have ever been there before? How many know family members right now or friends that their backs are up? Maybe you know someone that their marriage is kind of on the rocks or whatever, and their backs are up again. I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to look at a couple of stories here tonight to see how important it is for us to fight with the proper kind of weapons, the Word of God. 2 Chronicles 20, and we're going to take our time through this. This is probably one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament here because, man, I see my life, my past life in this. And sometimes we're still in the fight, man. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, verse 1, it happened after this that the people of Moab, not the people who believed in the Word of God, but the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and the others with them, besides the Amorites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat, check this out, Jehoshaphat, man of God, feared. Has fear ever gripped your heart before? Man, I keep going back to when I was laying on the table there, waiting for the cardiologist to get there. And I talked with how many know our brother Don Schnettler made it through a heart attack just a couple weeks ago. And him and I were talking our little war stories there. And it was uncanny because he said exactly what I thought while I was laying on the table and didn't think I was going to make it. There was a fear gripped our hearts. And I called Jill over and I said, honey, I don't think I'm going to make it. So I couldn't breathe anymore, and I just couldn't take the pain anymore. And she prayed, and she said, you're going to be okay. And that gave me hope. Amen. That gave me hope right there. And I just, you know, I held on to that. But nonetheless, there was some fear in my life. It was fear. And this is what's happening here. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. The church gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Mom and dad gathered together. Families gathered together to ask help. Our nation should gather together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms and nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us or sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and we will cry out to you in our affliction and you will hear and save us. And see, in spite of their backs being up against the law, this man began to cry out to God. And folks, that's what we are. We desperate enough to cry out for God's help? Are we desperate enough to see our families healed, to see them delivered, set free, and saved in Jesus' name? Then somebody's got to be crying out to God. Somebody has got to say, we need you, Lord, now like never before. I was so encouraged to hear congressmen and senators saying, we've gathered together, we held hands in prayer today. Tomorrow night, they're going to go on with that ball game, and before there's going to be a prayer meeting at that base, somebody is crying out to God. Many are saying they're just going to go back to business as usual, and we all know that that's human nature, but that's when the church has got to stand fast. have got to establish their steps and stay the course. We cannot afford to go back as business as usual in the house of God or as His sons and daughters. Are you with me tonight? And that's what's happening here. And it says in verse 10, "And now here are the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade." In other words, you said, give them a pass. Don't bother with them. "Here they are," verse 11, "rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit." It just reminds me the spirit of this world. They're trying to... there's no one small enough. Oh, there is someone small enough. Oh, Miss Heather, can I borrow one of your kids? Amen. Come on. Yeah, I'll take. Come on, Evan. Come on up here. See, this is what. Come on, give Evan a big hand. Amen. He's one of our mighty warriors in Children's Church. Now, Evan, you play along with me, okay, buddy? See, the devil's just like, I'm going to throw you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear the word of God. And they want to throw us out of this country. Out of this. They want to bury the church. Right? And so many Christians are just given into that. But no, we're mighty warriors. Give me that. Give me that, Evan. Yeah. We're a mighty warrior. And so when he stands with the word of God, man, the devil's got to back off. Give me a high five, buddy. Give him another big hand. Amen. Verse 12. "Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great..." How many have ever felt helpless before? It's like, man, what's the use? God says, keep pressing in, keep praying, keep speaking the word, keep praying in the spirit, keep... See, we don't hear much of that in the body of Christ today. Amen. It's like, what in the world? That's why I appreciate our church so much, because the word's being preached, not somebody's ideas, not someone's philosophy, but the word of God. "For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." God, we're looking to you. We're looking to you, God. Our eyes are upon you. "Now all of Judah and their little ones," hallelujah, little ones, their wives, their children, "they stood before the Lord." This is the unity of faith happening, young and old. Man, I tell you what, that's why we've got to reach this generation, folks. And I'm just going to throw a little commercial out to you. Yeah. I can't do it myself. I can't do it by myself. Pastor Tammy can't do it by himself. Okay? Heather can't do it by herself. Can't, you know, it's going to take all of us. It really is. It's going to take all of us. We want to reach, defeat the enemy by reaching this generation, reaching our neighbors. I don't care how old they are. It's going to take all of us. All hands on deck. That's what it's going to take. It really is. Time for playing church. And I'm speaking to you on the tape because you're not here tonight. Amen. No. It's time for playing church is over. Our backs are up against the wall. Okay? But we're going to still seek God. Then verse 14 says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said this, 'Listen, all you of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, listen up, listen up. Thus says the Lord God, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's.'" See, you're only going to get God's game plan through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. If you try to come up with your own little way to try, believe me, I've done that. I'm sure we all have. And we've all fallen flat on our face. Seek God. He said, tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head, his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. In other words, they were letting God know, they were letting the devil know, they were letting the world know that our God reigns. And we're going to worship God and God alone. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed all those in the band. And they went out, and they began to praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And now when the band began to praise the Lord set an ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and he wiped them out. They were defeated. Why? Because God's people got serious about seeking him. Serious about the Word of God. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts the 4th chapter. Early church, filled with the Spirit. They preached with passion and conviction. Signs and wonders happened on a regular basis. Peter and John heal a man at the temple gate. And all of a sudden, the enemy, the devil, starts having a hissy fit. Chapter 4, verse 1. And now as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. We're seeing this today, folks. See, PC doesn't work with Jesus. Political correctness doesn't work with the Word of God. They don't work together. Okay? We're either on God's side or the world's side. Right? And they laid hands on them. They got roughed up. Some of us might get roughed up. Are we willing to go through that? Amen. Young and old, are we willing to go through that? We're seeing that around the world today. They laid hands on them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Someone say, praise God. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest, they were gathered together in Jerusalem. All the intellectual top dogs, the religious top dogs, they came together. And when they had set them in the midst of them, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Peter, the same guy who denied Jesus 3 times, the same guy on the 3rd time cursed like a sailor and said, I don't know the man. This guy now, this is what I love. God uses the not good enoughs. See, God didn't use any of the religious top dogs. He uses the not good enoughs. So if you feel like you're not good enough for the kingdom, you're in the right place. Amen. Right? And so Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and people of the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom," I love this, there's no political correctness here, right? "Whom you guys crucified, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has been become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which men must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the two guys that were not good enough that Jesus chose. Boldness. Boldness. Look at me for a second. Your boldness might look like, "Man, I've been praying for my sister for years to get saved, but I've never sat down and talked to her because I'm afraid of rejection." I can relate to that. We've been praying. I told Pastor Tommy in the prayer group today, we've been praying for my brother Greg. Haven't seen him. He lives a half a mile from me. Haven't seen him in 8 years. And last time I saw him, he was F-bombing me at his daughter's wedding. Tried to keep in contact, been praying for him and his family. So I called him. About 6 months ago, I called him. Me afraid of rejection again. Called him and said, "Hey, Greg, how about we get together for lunch? You know? And this is what I got." I don't think that's going to happen. And right away, I felt crushed. Amen. I just felt this. Oh, I wanted to know Jesus. Yes. So I had to put that aside. I said, "Well, brother, why not? I mean, Mark, I'm busy. I drive all," he's a truck driver, drives 35 years all over the country. I said, "Okay, you know." So I worked up the courage enough. Last week, I give him a call again. Yeah, twice it's happened. So I worked up the courage again. So I'm still, we're praying. So I call him. He doesn't answer the phone. So I just leave him a message. "Hey, bro, just call and see how you're doing. See how life is. See how your family is." Half hour later, I'm driving. He calls me back. First time ever. First time ever. Amen. He's ever called me back. And I was in the car and I went, "Oh, it's my brother Greg." And I'm like, "Praise God," you know? And the Lord just said to me, "Just be kind." Amen. "So, Greg, how you doing?" "What's up, brother?" I'm like, "Hey, Greg, I just called and see how you're doing, man." He goes, "Oh, we're doing good. I'm in North Carolina right now and dropping off a load and be back, da-da-da-da." And we start talking about, you know, the kids and the family and the grandkids and how... Ask how my family's doing, how the kids are doing. "What do you got? How many? 6, 7 grandkids now?" And, you know, and I'm just like, "Yeah, how about you, bro? How do you got?" "Well, we just got the one right now, but, you know, we'll see what happens." And this conversation's going on, and the Lord said, "Just leave it at that. Just leave it at that." So that was a victory. Amen. That was victory for me in the face of defeat. So it might look like something like that for you. As simple as having to get the courage, the boldness to say, "I'm going to do this. The time for prayer has come to an end. Continue to pray. It's now time to speak up." Amen. See, that's what God's looking for. Yeah. It's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to speak up. Not to get ugly, not to get violent, not to be like the world, but to tell people about Jesus, however that might look in your world. And that's exactly what's happening here. Verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. Here it is. They're not good enoughs, right? They marveled. They're like, what in the world are these guys, man? They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. The world's going to marvel at, why aren't you all freaked out? The peace of Christ is in my life. Now, that's not to say we don't, you know, amongst ourselves say, man, what in the world's going on? But we need to pray. Jesus is coming soon, folks. Don't know when, but the only thing that you and I are taking with us are souls. That's it. There's nothing else. Souls are the only thing that's going with us. And seeing that the man who had been healed standing there with them, they could say nothing against them. Folks, I don't know about you, but I believe this is going to happen again. Are you with me? Amen. How many want to see the signs, the miracles? How many want to see a move of God? And here it is, folks. The darker it gets, the brighter we get. It's real simple. The darker it gets, the brighter we get. See, the church is sitting around. Many Christians are like, oh, man, what are we going to do? Sitting in the corner, sucking their thumb, going, man, I don't know. God, when are you going to do something? When are you going to do something? And God's saying, wait a minute. John 17:14, I've given them the word. I've already given you the weapons. I've given you authority. I've already given you authority. Why are you sitting in the corner, sucking your thumb, wondering when I'm going to show up, when I've already showed up, and I'm waiting for you to show up? This is as real and as plain. Because why? Our backs are up against the wall, folks. Those two officers, D.C. officers that took down that gunman today, real simple. They had a badge, authority, and the power, their gun, to take out the bad guy. Amen. We have that same badge and gun. It's just in the spirit. We have the badge of Christ in our heart. We're born again. We got the Holy Ghost inside us, and we've got the gun, the mother of all Bibles right there, the mother of all books right there. We've got it right here, and it's in our heart, and it's in our mouth. That's how we're going to stop the devil in his tracks. We're talking about victory in the face of defeat. And the way that happens, folks, is this. We've got to be submitting to the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ every day. This is so key. James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So many Christians get that turned around. They try to resist first without submitting first. It doesn't work. We got to submit our lives daily to the Lord. Submit to the authority of God's word. Then we resist the devil and he'll flee. Now that word submit means to surrender, to yield, to give into authority. And so many times we get this turned around. It's like I wrote this down. It's like we want blessing. We want God to bless our life when we're holding unforgiveness in our heart towards someone. How can God possibly? It's like writing checks without making deposits. We have to submit first, then we have the authority and the boldness to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Here's the thing I learned about submission, folks. And we're going to kind of wrap things up here tonight. Submission to God is like submitting to the chain of command. The first thing you learn in basic training is the chain of command. Who's your chain of command? Man, I mean, from your squad leader. Now back, I know things have changed, say, but a squad used to be 12 men. You have one guy who's the squad leader. To the platoon leader, okay, he's over 50 guys. To the company commander, he's over 200 guys. And then to the battalion commander, then to the brigade commander, then to the corps commander, then to the theater commander, then to the army chief of staff, then to the joint chairman of the chief of staff, and then to the president of the United States. Any one of those chains that are broken, you lose authority. You lose it. You have no power then. That's why people get ticked off when guys in the army used to try to do an end run. You know, they skip their chain of command. Man, you skipped your chain of command. You are in deep trouble. What happens is, us as Christians, we get that mixed up in the spirit realm. We got to submit to God. Submit to God. And then submit to those who God's placed in authority over our lives. Then, and only then, can we enter into the art of combat, which is defeating our enemy. And so when we're in total submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we've got the Holy Spirit in our heart. We're filled with the Word of God. We're an active part of the body of Christ. We're connected to the local church. Are you seeing the chain here? Lone Rangers become lone strangers, right? You're not going to make it out there. And so when we do that, then we're going to experience habitual victory. Habitual victory. And so as we close tonight, I just want to encourage you. Be bold. Be bold in your witness for Christ. Like never. Be bold in your prayer. Pastor Galena said it earlier. If you've never experienced something new in God, I might be saying this backwards a little bit, but if you never, it's probably because you haven't tried anything new in God. Right? Here's something that might encourage you. If you're home on Wednesdays, you're not working, why don't you try coming to the church at 10 o'clock in prayer? Are we desperate for God? Or what about if we just have an active prayer life in our own home? Maybe you've never prayed with your spouse before. Maybe you've never prayed with your children or your grandchildren. If we're going to see God move, we got to do something we've never done before. And I pray that tonight was an encouragement to you that there is victory in Jesus. Why? Because our hope is, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. Pastor Tommy?